This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas, but mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrills the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
I was an Eskimo. Frozen wind began to blow. And my mama cried. And my mama cried.
Watch out where the huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow. Watch out where the huskies go, don't you eat that yellow snow.
And if you did, then you may have an issue that you have to figure out. Here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show.
Hang on.
Yes, here on Long Island's only automotive talk show, Chris needed to be muted so that we could hear ourselves, because otherwise we get that double entendre effect thing, Chris. So anyway,
hi.
We are here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, talking about yellow snow and then the snow NATOs we've all been going through and my sore back and my aching celiac and all sorts of stuff.
I hate to tell you, I haven't even gone out there and shoveled yet. I haven't left the house in at least 36 hours. I haven't even opened the front door.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to going out there and shoveling this mess. I wasn't going to do it. I looked at the temperature and it went 14 degrees. You want me out there shoveling? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
So I think it's the balmy 21 right now here in the Nutmeg State. So I figure, that's pretty warm for around here.
It has been an ordeal, and the windshield washer fluid is now like liquid enough to flow, which is good.
Don't get me started on that.
No, we had enough of that already. That's right. And we've had feedback.
Don't get me started.
No, I won't. But I'll tell you this. I have now a newfound respect for, I was going to bring in Bachman Turner Overdrive to play a song off their album titled Four-Wheel Drive, because four-wheel drive vehicles in this weather, oh baby, nothing gets in the way. I mean, it's nothing. It's ridiculous. I had a drive over.
The right vehicle.
Drive over plowed in areas yesterday, and I asked, after I did all of my snow chores here, well, not all of them, most of them, we had to take a drive into Queens. Just to make sure.
Yesterday?
Last night. So I could shovel and like a 12-foot section of sidewalk, that we're responsible for. But and then someone had run a snowblower over it anyway. So, but the way they plow in Queens and the boroughs is, leaves a little something to be desired.
It is, yeah. It's an ordeal because everybody's on top of one another, especially in some areas in Queens. Some neighborhoods, they're two-way streets, and they're as wide as 6 feet wide. Mm. And then you add piles of snow in that mixture. It's incredible how anything gets done or anybody gets around.
But not a problem when you have four-wheel drive with new tires and I'm learning like you did, Chris, and most of us did in the audience, how to drive in snow and bad weather since we were kids. That's all we've ever been doing. I used to go out in parking lots in the snow and just drive the car around and throw it into turns and spins just to see what it would do, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned how to control. So when it happened in real, in a real situation, yeah, it's a pucker moment, but it's not the first time you're feeling it. You've you've known it before, and you kind of know what to do. You learn that muscle memory. So
is a pucker moment, is that going to be definable on the Motormouth Radio website as
that's on the that would be on the in the decoder, which is a very good question.
Decoder.
You can find that on the Motormouth on motormouthradio.com. Go to the, one of the top tabs. It's probably, is it on the blog tab? I don't remember that. But there'll be a thing called the decoder, which would decode the terms that we've used on this show that people might not know. And I just went through this with our web guy this week. He asked about another term that we used, I think, last week. And and my answer to that, I don't remember what the term was, but my answer to that was the same answer as to this. And I would say no, because pucker moment is something that's kind of universally under. We didn't make it up.
No,
like
no, that's not. We're not. We just utilize it. We don't. We didn't create that one, but we do create the noise that goes along with it, which is usually, woo.
Yeah. So it's terms, and that's you know that's some casual reading. If people want to check that out, you can. You know, Joe was really the creator, the reason we created that, because Joe always had some real creative and flowerful terms for things.
Yes.
And like puffication and all sorts of crazy stuff. So
schming,
yeah, schming, schmooze, right. So that's kind of why the decoder came into being. And yeah, if you go and read that, you'll find. Yeah, you may find some words you want to use in your own vernacular. What the heck, you know? Mm-hmm. What the hell? But anyway, if you want to get in on the fun, if you're locked in like Chris, you can call us at 516-572-7440. Check us out on the web. Of course, it's Motormouth Radio on the web, on Twitter, and on Facebook, and on Instagram. It's real_Motormouth Radio. So
yes,
we do have a jingle. So let's go to the phones and go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Good morning, gentlemen, and how is the frozen tundra?
Yeah, we're down in the teens, Skip. It's really nice. It's beautiful.
Well, let me tell you something, Ray. For the first time, it'll be 5 years we're here in July, and this morning getting up at 7 o'clock, it was 24 degrees.
Yeah.
Wow. It's the coldest it's ever been here, and we're west central Florida.
Yep.
But the thing of it was, I've had this discussion before, and just to get off the automotive topic for a few minutes to
sure, this is only an automotive show. We could do that.
Yeah, I know. I'll tie it in because I can add automotive to it. It'll all tie in. You'll see. After getting up this morning, and we found out we had no water.
Oh, wow.
Because we have well water. And apparently the lines are very shallow in the ground, and they're even above ground coming out of the well and so forth. So that was the first indication that there was something going on. Now, I've had this discussion before when I had my new garage built. The plumber gigged the water lines because they were not wrapped.
Ah.
And I said, what, are you kidding me? Not wrapped. Why do they have to be wrapped? We're in Central Florida. Mm-hmm. When did it ever freeze? When did water freeze in Central Florida? So he's, well, you never know. We could have that deep freeze. And I'm like chuckling, yeah, another way just to bust my chops and do this and, you know, the system and blah, blah, blah. So they wrapped them, and, you know, we had them wrapped, and everything was cool. I had another discussion with my podiatrist who I said the same thing to, and he said, no, really, we've had pipes freeze over the years. Now, I just seen him 2 weeks ago. And I said, I'm not a believer because I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm a believer because as of this morning, our pipes did not let water flow until, believe it or not, right now it's 60 degrees outside. I have never seen temperatures change as rapidly and as dramatically as I have in this area of Florida. You'll see 20, 30-degree temperature changes within an hour or two, and you can watch the thermometer actually move, which is unheard of. But that's a good thing because the water works now and everything's fine, and I guess after the fact, in another day or two, I'll probably get some wrap and wrap the rest of the pipes and you know, prepare for next year's freeze because I think we're going to be pretty much out of it now.
You know, talking to Chassis John on the, he's more in the central, he said the East Coast, the iguanas are falling out of trees and hitting people. And some of those things are 30 pounds. Think of the dent in the hood that'll leave.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're on the West Coast, central West Coast. But The car-related part of it was I walked over to the garage this morning, knowing we had no water here in the house, and my well over there worked perfectly. My water in the bathroom worked. The toilet was fine. Everything was good. I had and that just shows if you've got a man cave in a garage and a bathroom in your garage, it's all good because it's in the garage with the cars, so you know you're going to be good.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But and actually here in the Northeast, yeah, well, we had the snownado. We're in the teens, and all of our utilities are working. Nobody I know lost power. So maybe they're finally getting their stuff in order, and that's good to know. At least it still doesn't solve the aching back problem, but that's a whole other story.
Well, yeah, that comes with the territory, I'm afraid. And, you know, we even talked about the fact that had we still been up New York now, we got to the point just before we left that we didn't even do the snow blowing in the driveway anymore. Irene couldn't do it anymore, and we would have to depend on my daughters and son-in-laws and granddaughters and so forth. But now all the granddaughters are back up in college, and my one daughter is recovering from surgery in the elbow, so she couldn't have helped in any way. And it was left up to my other daughter with her husband. That would have been the only two after they bailed themselves out. So I'm glad we're still down here. And we had frost on the pumpkin this morning. It's funny to see frost on the lawn and the roof and whatnot. But that's as bad as we get. And I think, you know, like I said, it's 60 degrees now. You could even go for a cruise. The streets are clean. There's no sand or garbage or crap out there. So it would be a great day to take a nice little run. The car would run good in this weather anyway, so I think it sounds like a good idea.
Right. All right, Skip. Well, we appreciate that. What's going on is our phones are lit, so let us run and
another
call, and we'll talk about more frosty stuff, hopefully, and glad the pipes thawed out.
Sounds good. Take care, guys. Enjoy.
So long.
Take care, Skip.
All right, let's see if we have something over here now. What do we got? Yeah, we do. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah, wait, it's Dan.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, Dan.
Good, pretty good. What's going on? What's going on? Yeah. I want to tell you, my daughter said it was like 32 degrees in Orlando this morning. Early this morning, you know. It was pretty cold, you know.
Oh, but, yeah. They don't know what to do with this weather.
Well, forget about it, I tell you. And you're right, I tell you, Ray, with the Jeep, I came back last night. I tell you, I was tired. I had shoveled by my father's house in Brooklyn and his neighbor, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And I tell you, I come back, the whole driveway with snow, you know, over foot.
Yep.
And I'm saying, do I want to dig out? I got two snow blowers. I said, you know, the heck with this. I took the Wrangler and just started riding around the driveway there, to flatten it out a little.
And that's what I'm going to do outside of my driveway apron in the street, because, of course, the plow came through and filled that area. And I moved a mountain in the driveway. I don't want to go. And now the stuff is getting a little more packed. So
I'm
going to just stick the FJ in four-wheel drive, and I'm just going to run over it because nothing stops the thing. But I'll tell you this. The other takeaway is I was talking about this with Kilowatt Kevin. He has a Tacoma. And I'm sure the other companies mention it too, not just Toyota. In the owner's manual, they do recommend that once a month, which I think may be a little aggressive, once a month, you drive the vehicle in four-wheel drive for like 10 miles.
Really?
I think that's a little aggressive because in July, 10 miles, you know, I don't know.
Why would you do that? To keep the juices flowing?
Yes.
Why would you want to do that? Really?
To keep the fluid circulating and the gears fully lubed and everything.
Okay.
You know.
Wow.
Now, I do watch a guy on YouTube who's a certified Toyota tech. I watched the video yesterday. Oh, on EFJ, in fact. And he didn't say that, but he did kind of echo that and say you do on a four-wheel drive vehicle need to exercise the four-wheel drive unit throughout the year. And most people, you know, why would you do that, especially, you know, here in the hills and mountains of Long Island? You know, it's really not necessary.
right. Wow.
But
yeah, that makes sense though. Yeah, it makes sense, you know.
Yeah,
but they're amazing, the Wranglers. I got to tell you, it's really the best vehicle I ever owned, you know, by far, you know. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Best winter vehicle, best summer vehicle. You know, you take the doors off in the summer, the top down. You know, in the winter, I can go anywhere. There's no obstacle.
Right, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
And our buddy Vince is saying, you know, that actually keeps the seals wet. And, well, of course, it lets the fluid get out to the seals. And Chassis John is saying, you know, his GMC recommends he does that on the highway. Now, with the four-wheel drive, you're kind of limited to top speed, you know.
Right.
Although I was cruising in four-wheel low last night on the highway, so that's not a problem. You can go over 50, not high, you know, in low.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, it's the thing is, you know, and the other thing was, as far as maintenance goes,
right,
just last month or early this month, whatever it was, when I did my oil change on the truck and tire rotation, when I had it on the lift, I got in there and I lubricated all of the Zerk fittings on the drive shafts. And
great.
I got about 6 or 8 of them to do. Now, conversely, on my daughter's RAV4, which is an all-wheel drive vehicle that has it, hers is sealed joints. So hers didn't have any grease points. But you should know, you know, you should see. One of the tip-offs is if your vehicle has them and or you need lubrication, is when you come to a stop, not a slow stop. You know, maybe you're like, oh, the light changes. You get on a brake a little bit and you stop. You know, you kind of like stop and rock back a little sometimes.
Right.
If you do that and you feel like a clunk, or when you take off, you'll feel the clunk. That's the drive shaft, the slip joint sticking.
Oh wow!
It just means you and when I lubed mine, the two of them, you pump the grease in, you'll see the slip joint. Actually, that piece of the drive shaft will come out of the other piece because the grease forces it out. Now you know that you have lubrication. So again, if you go into a Jiffy Lube, ask them to do a lube on your drive shafts if you have them, because if they lock up on you and then you don't have it, and then you're gonna be stuck like the guy in the Civic, you know?
Yeah. Wow. I wanted to tell you really like an important note, and I heard it from a good source. So, you know, there's a rash of they're stealing these catalytic converters.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Out of Nassau. You know what they're doing though is, and if you hear, you know, they're putting the radios loud. And that's to hide the noise from the sawzall. You know what I mean?
Oh.
So if you see a car pull up and that radio's blasting.
I got you. Okay.
It's a lot of noise.
Good to know.
It is. The guy's under the car. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And, you know, you look out the window, you know, nobody's calling. Please, the guy's just got the radio loud. You know what I mean?
Now, it's interesting you said that, because, you know, here in Nassau County, the radio would get people looking out the window. As would maybe the sawzall, but like in the boroughs.
Right, that's what I said. He said, no, but how are you going to hide the noise? It's all the way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know,
it happens all the time. I think it's some, kids in the car and he's got the radio blast. You know what I mean? And then it doesn't take long.
No.
You know, to cut that thing out. You know what I mean?
What I was going to say, though, is in the boroughs, like in Brooklyn and Queens, you hear a loud radio. You didn't even look out the window. You had gunshots in the box out the window.
Yeah.
You don't look out the window. You avoid the windows. It's true.
I know, but even if you do look out the window, you think, what's going to happen? And then, a couple of minutes later, the guy shuts it off. He drives away, and that's it. You know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
yeah.
You don't know who's going to know. The guy's under the car. He doesn't. You know, nobody sees anything.
And the truth is, in these days, you see a car outside and the radio's playing. The guy could be like a Grubhub guy, a food delivery guy, and he's looking for a house.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Think.
Yeah. So
thanks for the
think about it. Thanks. Next time, yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the public service announcement, Dan. That's excellent.
Okay, guys.
Dan, that's real important information.
Yeah, definitely. So have a good new year, and hopefully I'll see you at the next show there, car show.
Yeah. Or in my backyard or in your backyard.
You know, it's funny. I got to tell you. I'll show you. I'll send you some photos if I want to put on the website. I was in Colombia.
Okay.
In December, right?
Right.
And I was in this town, Salento, Colombia. It was absolutely beautiful. I mean, I was all over. It's a beautiful place, But in this town, Salento, it's like upstate. It's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. But you had to see the amount of old, like the CJ Jeeps.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I got one photo. There was about 30 of these Jeeps in the photo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were all like the long body ones,
Dan, I know years ago my sister-in-law had a Pathfinder, and it was getting a little long in the tooth. It had a lot of rust on the bottom, but it ran great. And where she worked, a guy came in, I think it was a landscaper, and he wanted to buy it. And she goes, huh? And he offered her good money for it. And she's like, what are you kidding me? Is this a scam? Because the thing's got, it's rusty. He goes, no, in my country, these things are worth, and he was from one of the South America countries. He goes, I'll ship this down there. They don't care about the rust. He goes, this thing will go for another, 20 years down there.
It was, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. And I didn't even know they had like a longer body one there. I don't know if it was just made special in that country. I mean, I'll show you the photos.
But yeah,
I'm telling you, there were so many of these. And then the coolest was some of the older ones, like the Willys Jeeps from I seen two. They had made two different like coffee trucks in the back. What an ingenious idea!
Yeah.
The guy had everything, you know, and he would just at the end of the day, an old timer, you know, he just pull away, drive away. But everything he needed was in the back.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. I have an inverter in the back of my FJ that was, you know, factory equipped. I may put a coffee pot in the back of there too. What the hell? Now that you mention it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was so cool. The guy had everything there. You know, okay, I want an espresso. Everything, you know.
Yeah,
so cool. You know?
Send me pictures, Dan. I'd love to see him.
Yeah, I'll send you to because I tell you, it gave me an idea, you know.
Sure. Very good.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Dan. Thanks.
All right.
516-572-7440. You know, it's funny, right? There were South American Jeeps, and Dan is right. They were made on a longer wheelbase for utilitarian purposes, but he is correct. There were different configurations of Jeeps. There were Jeeps like the old Willys. They made them like station wagons down there, but they're only in South America. So, so he definitely is. He's on the right track with that, with those Jeeps. Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is kind of funny. Talk about maintenance on a four-wheel drive vehicle. When I first bought that Bronco that was very used, and I put it into four-wheel drive, it didn't work. I was still in two-wheel drive, and I'm like, why didn't it work? I turned you had the exterior locking hubs at the time.
Right.
And I turned them like you're supposed to, but then I realized that it wasn't engaging. So I had to pull the hubs apart, and of course, the grease was all dried out.
Maintenance.
There was, never had gotten any maintenance.
And that's probably because it hadn't gotten used.
Probably.
Now, was that the Bronco with the wooden body mounts?
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. So that kind of, now I am seeing the pattern. It kind of makes, you know, now, ironically, this truck that I'm driving was born and raised in Brooklyn, you know, the flattest borough. It was sold in Brooklyn.
And my Bronco was born and raised in Long Island.
Yeah, there you go. It was sold there new. The second owner drove it in Brooklyn. He was down in the beach area. And now I got it. And so it's never been, you know, even, it might have been in the Adirondacks, but it certainly wasn't living a country life. And yet I found that mine was very well maintained. When I did, you know, one of the first things I did was I was dumping all the oil, all the fluids, oil transmission, and I did the transfer cases and rear end. And it was coming out in the rear end transfer cases, was coming out like new. I said, wow, somebody serviced this fluid, even though I know they wouldn't have been using it for four-wheel driving. But so you never know. You don't know. You know, that's the thing. When you get a vehicle and you don't know the history, you have to assume that they're all like yours, the worst.
Yeah, and that was certainly my four-wheel drive vehicle. Everything came out. All the fluids came out black.
Yeah,
everything.
Right. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, most people we know don't. You mentioned like you change a third member, differential fluid, and they're like, what? You got to do what? Same thing I get when I tell people you should really flush your brake fluid. What? Flush the brake fluid? Well, what am I going to do that for? Okay. So then the discussion starts. So it's the same thing. I tell people this. If you just look, we always say this on the show, look at the owner's manual, and they have a scheduled maintenance chart in there. They always do. No one looks at it. But you can look at that, and you can look at other things. They detail it in the owner's manual. My FJ gave me a quick reference booklet. It's maybe 15 pages, and it just covers things like, you know, the seating and the the radio and dash stuff, and it covers four-wheel drive and how to change a tire, all the basic things. It's a broad, without getting too detailed, and that's nice to have, you know.
Oh, because you don't want to, a lot of people don't want to, unless they're throwing the owner's manual in the bathroom, a lot of people don't want to sift through it, and a small 15-page booklet quick checklist is definitely a plus. Sure.
And I even used it because, again, like, I don't use the four-wheel drive all the time. So I wanted to see. I knew, like, okay, one of them you had to be in neutral, the other. And I found I can put this thing in and out of four-wheel up to 50 miles an hour.
On the fly?
I can literally grab that other stick and pull it into four-wheel low up to 50, in and out up to 50 miles an hour. If I want to go into four-wheel high, I have to be in neutral and I have to be stopped. You know, that's...
Oh, wow.
You know.
Yeah, I still had to, in the old days with my buckboard Bronco, I had to stop the truck, get out, turn the locks and the front wheels, get back in the truck, dump it into the gear.
Which is most, it's most inconvenient if you're in like stuck in the mud 3 feet or if you're on a snowy trail, because now you got to do that. Those wheels may be under the mud, or the, you know, like, and now, and you're stuck. So, you know, now theoretically you have to do this under the stuff that you're stuck in. So that's no fun.
And the other Bronco that I had the super duper whoop-de-doo 2-button system on the dashboard,
right,
which had a motor driven locker and de-locker, I guess you can call it.
Right.
And it was a big, thick motor. And I remember that failing as well.
Oh, really?
That ended up on the bench trying to figure out what was wrong with that thing.
Yeah.
And all it was dirt and crud and lack of maintenance. And once I cleaned it up and hung it back on there, it was fine. Everything was fine.
You know, one of our truck experts, Vin, says you take it out of four-wheel drive, you back up 10 feet and disengage. I guess what that does is unloads the sprayer or the gears. That's,
Vince is right. Yeah. I had to do that as well.
That makes sense.
That task as well.
And, you know, if you take a car with an automatic transmission and park it on a little bit of a grade and jam it into park, and that car rolls forward a little bit, you're going to have trouble getting it out of park. You know, again, because there's pressure on the park pole. So it just goes for everything. But,
and how many times have you taken it out of gear and it's gone string, and it, you know, jerks a little bit more because you just released that pressure off the pole. It slid off the that castle gear that it sits on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's happened. You go, ooh, that sounds like money.
Well, speaking about jerking a little bit more, we're getting to the bottom of the hour, and do we have a honor group of the hour that we can share today, Chris?
Of course we do. Just like eating the yellow snow on this frosty cold day, this Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour, if you could not get in your car due to something frozen, and not just your hands or feet or other body parts, we're talking about, did you ever shovel your way into the car just to stick the key in the lock and find that it's frozen solid? Did you ever point the key fob at the car and have it do absolutely nothing, but wait until above freezing temperatures and it works just fine? Have you ever reached for the car door handle, and it's firmly stuck to the car? Or if you finally get that unstuck, you find the door itself is completely frozen to the car? Well, if gaining access to your vehicle these past few weeks requires some WD-40, hairdryer, or maybe even a blowtorch, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour this fine, upstanding, frigid Sunday.
Excellent. And I think we've been requested by our webmaster to maybe compile a list of those Honor Groups of the Hours to put on the website, like the decoder. So you have to go back about, I don't know, 8-10 years, maybe?
And listen to every single show?
And
you think I write this down?
No pressure. I think he said he wants it by Monday.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you know how we work over here. So I tell you what, instead of that, now I know you're already wearing the half the outfit. Make sure you have that, put the scarf on now, because I know it's not for the cold. I want you to wear that silk scarf to match the suit.
Ooh.
Because we're going to take our break. And we're going to be take care of a little business. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio when we come back on 90.3 WHPC. Chris, you started off, and feel free to dance. We'll be back in a minute. Keep it where you got it.
Show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next,
you guys call yourself hot rodders. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show, and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor mouth.
You guys are trouble. I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fount of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you see,
it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor mouth radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor mouth radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor mouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
I don't know if you learned how to dance during that break, but if you did, you had a good leg up because played Chris's favorite. This is actually the mantra that they're going to play when you enter the ring. That's what they play. Is
thanks.
Disco boy.
Painfully accurate too.
Yes, I know. So listen, and if you like that song, check out we do have a Spotify account. You can find the link on motormouthradio.com, and you could go down. You can find the playlists that we put up there. You can hear the stuff we play. But if you want to hear something else cool, you can listen to Play It Cool Thursdays at 7 p.m. on this station. It's an hour dedicated to the latest and greatest hip-hop and R&B music. Mostly recent and pop records, but they also play showcase timeless classics. Just like this phone that's flipping is a timeless classic, so let us push the button and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing, guys? A long time no chat.
Whoa, Mark, what's happening?
What's going on,
Mark? How are you?
Hey, how are you? Yeah, I just turned the darn thing on about 6 minutes ago because I forgot it was 12, but my mistake. Yeah, the International Harvester Scout 2. You were right. With that thing, you can put into four-wheel drive like up to 50 miles an hour. What a great truck. It's a shame it just rotted out.
Yeah, that's very true.
They all do, right? Last I heard, they're all rot out.
Yeah, it's just you look at them and they rot. I don't understand it, but this is the way it was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure was. It's a shame because, like you say, they were fantastic trucks.
Yeah, the mechanical parts were great. I mean, you had to dyno front and rear and the transfer case. And I think it had a Chrysler 727 transmission in, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. It was a great truck. It really was. It's a shame it had to go.
Yeah. So you finally got rid of yours, I'm assuming, because we have archive footage of you talking about that truck ad nauseum.
Oh, we do, yeah. We do, yes.
Well, look, like I said, mechanically, I mean, you couldn't kill the darn thing. You really couldn't. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. It's a shame. But when... some of the superstructure starts falling off. It's not a good thing.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, I've gotten rid of a couple cars, and, two of them that I wish I had still was my Monte Carlo and my Riviera, and it was really because of the body rust. I had all the mechanicals rebuilt. The brakes had been all rebuilt and upgraded, suspensions upgraded.
Yeah.
And literally the bodies were just rusting apart at the back because they were 70s GM vehicles. And,
Yeah.
When I got my Pontiac in 75, it's a 65, 10 years old. It already had some rust on it. That's just the way things were. See, that's what people don't understand about, like, the muscle car and the collector car era. These cars had rust in the 70s, the cars from the 60s. And that's why a lot of those 50s cars just got scrapped and the 60s cars got crushed. It was like, it's not good.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, you know?
Yeah, but it was the way things were built at the time, and now cars are built better, and there's more rust, more rust treatments in place. But
I just got rid of my 1990 Bronco about 2 months ago.
Ah.
Two kids bought it. Ah. It had an interesting thing with the coming out of four wheel drive. Half the time it wouldn't come out. It had to back it up 10, 20 feet to fit to pop out.
Yeah.
And it had the two rectangular buttons on the dash. It was great. It really was. And it's a shame. But that started to rot like crazy also underneath.
Had you done any maintenance to the four-wheel drive like Chris was talking about to that might have staved that off or no?
When I originally got the truck, I think had like 90,000 original miles on it. And I changed the fluids, you know, all over other than the transmission because that seemed fine and it was still red and still didn't smell burnt or anything. So I left that alone. And I had to change the shift motor on the transfer case, figuring that was my problem. Of course, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And nobody can figure the damn thing out.
Mm.
You know, it was like you can be in the, driving along, click the button, and it'll come out of four-wheel drive on the fly. Anything you want, like, again, up to 40, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But now it wouldn't come out anymore.
Right.
And it's not a good feeling on the dry ground here and there, you know?
Right.
Feels like the wheel's going to turn in under itself, and you don't want to wind up and break and all sorts of stuff, so.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it just,
you're stuck in four-wheel drive, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and you got to back it up. And half the people I talk to who are the experts, it pops out. I said, no, it doesn't pop out. There's something wrong with it.
Right. So, you know? So, Mark, what is the fleet comprised of now?
Oh, my goodness. The fleet comprises of still the 67 Renault Caravelle.
Of course. That's
that'll never go away.
Right.
Which I have to change the
everything.
Four-wheel drive mechanism.
Yeah. The damn thing still runs great, I got to tell you.
Yes.
But other than that, we still have the 94 Lumina Z34.
Okay.
You
wow.
still have that.
Okay.
Holy moly.
It's been sitting for a year because it still has a water leak issue.
Yeah.
And,
I thought you were going to say it still has pigeon poop mixed up on the inspection sticker on the windshield.
No. Remember that?
No.
All too well. If you listen to the 20-year show, we talk about it.
Right.
Yep, I remember. Yeah. Hey, look, the stuff works, and it got me out of a spot once or twice over the years.
Yeah.
You know? And like, hey, look.
You could have been a rich man. You could have been a rich man. Could have marketed fake pigeon poop for those people that just can't get their cars inspected right away. You could have marketed it.
Yeah,
I should have.
$100 in your pocket.
Yeah, until the state inspector came knocking on his door asking him about this Amazon account that he's. Yeah.
What are you buying all this white out for? Oh, and crayons.
Yeah, right.
And what else is in the fleet? 1999 Mercury Sable wagon, which still, it's got like 90,000 miles. It still runs great for the most part.
Can't go wrong. Yeah.
And the newest acquisition was about 2 years ago. My friend sold me his 2002 Explorer.
Oh.
Two-door Explorer Sport. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal, but, you know, at the time I was going back and forth to Stony Brook, and in the nasty, cold, snowy weather, mm-hmm. I needed a four-wheel drive, and the Bronco at that point wasn't really usable.
Right. Okay, good.
And there it sits, and that's it. How's everything else? I didn't get a chance to say, to say Happy New Year to you guys.
Yeah, thank you. Everything is good. We're still, you know, plodding along as we always do. We've gone through a lot of slings and arrows thrown at us, a lot of roadblocks in our way, and we just keep mm-hmm. finding a way to go over them, around them, under them, and until we can't. So we're still doing
it. Keep on going. Live long and prosper.
Exactly.
As they say.
Yes.
All right, guys. You have a good day.
All right,
and,
Mark.
Easy on the snow, will you?
Yep, we'll do.
All right, take care.
Be safe. Bye-bye. We'll talk to you soon.
Excellent.
Thanks for the call, Mark. 516-572-7440. Give us a call.
You know, speaking of maintenance, I wanted to mention, I know I talked to you about this. We're talking about our snow removal artilleries, and you know, in mine, I have my big Mama Luke snow thrower that's got, you know, 6 forward gears and 3 reverse. There's years that doesn't come out. Well, this year it did, unfortunately.
Sure it did.
But what I like to use are those little 21-inch. I had one that was a two-stroke, a 21-inch with the neoprene laced mm-hmm. augers that kind of just wipe the snow right to the concrete. The first one I had, it fell. It rusted out. The body of it rusted. The same thing with the snowblower. So now what I had done was a friend had gifted me one that had been floating in a garage during Hurricane Sandy.
Literally floating in water.
Right. So Honda John took it, got it running, and said to me, look, I know you like these little things. You want it? Yeah, I'll take it. Well, he says the only thing is
and
the electric.
You like the little, and you like the little snowblowers too,
that,
right?
I do. Yes, I do. Very, very astute, observant of you. Yes. But that one, the electric starter was shot because the salt water from Sandy got it. So I said, okay, no problem. It's a pull start. Well, I was using that for many years. And now a couple of years ago, I garbage picked my neighbor's. I thought it was the same damn machine, just a little newer, because they're both green Craftsman, 21-inch. And I said, good, I have full compatibility of parts. Well, it ends up...
Snow blowing on the cheap. I love it.
It ends up the one he threw out was a four-stroke machine, not a two-stroke machine. And I had it sitting in my backyard for like at least 4 years. Finally, this fall, I said, you know what? Let me roll this thing out, blow it off, and see what shape it's in. And there was some plastic stuff broken. I said, I'm going to make this, I'm going to put the least amount of money into this thing. I did what we do with cars, you know, and houses and everything else we buy.
See, working on vehicles on the cheap has its benefits.
It does.
Just like this.
My point, what I'm trying to illustrate is how the skill set transfers from one thing to another. So,
I'm doing the same thing with houses, too, but go right ahead.
Yeah. I mentioned houses. For a minimal amount of money, I didn't even buy a spark plug. I cleaned the spark plug, you know, and got the thing, took the carburetor apart and got it running. I said, okay, right. Good. Now I'll treat it to a spark plug for $3. Beautiful. And then I want to.
Oh, no. Don't spend $3. Go to Walmart. You get it for $1.97. I just did that.
It's probably what I did, but I'm just, for the sake of the story, we'll move it on. And then, you know, I had to change some plastic parts, and the chute has a crack, but that was like $50. Some of the parts are very expensive. Some are very cheap. So,
duct tape.
A couple of weeks ago, we had some snow, and the chute cracked more. So I said, let me see if I can transfer the chute from the other machine over. And, of course, I figured it would be this looks like the same machine. Well, the chute is the same dimensions, but the holes where the bolts are spaced a little different. So,
of course they are.
You get two bolts to line up. You drill the other two. You use chassis washers on the thing. And now guess what? I got a working chute on this thing. So
you got a snowblower and a parts snowblower.
Well, what'll happen is I can't use any of the engine parts because one's a two-stroke, one's a four.
Right.
But what'll happen is the four-stroke, I'll get rid of it. I'll excess it. The only pick I have with this machine is they're not good in wet snow. We know that. That's not really the issue. But those handles, you know, they always have the handle, the pipe frame handle, that has flat ends and is like just a bolt on either side with a big wing nut. And when you got to push that thing into snow, the handle tends to bend up a little bit. Well, right. I actually drilled two more holes and put nuts and bolts in it to give it 2 points. So it still moved a little. So I'm going to fabricate. I don't want to make it solid because then you can't fold the handle over. It makes it easier to store the dopey thing. So, but anyway, my point is, don't be afraid to garbage a piece of equipment because, like my neighbor, he just broke some of the plastic parts. Like there was a plastic cap that held the there's a rod that you turn to move the chute.
Sure.
Well, it was a plastic
like a crank.
He probably jammed the chute rod into the garage door, which broke the plastic cap. So now that had no way to be anchored. I mean, that was like a $4 or $5 part. You know, like I said, I'm into this thing for less than $20.
Well, you are into it for less than what than my Mamaluk snowblower, which could not get it running back in November, December, beginning of December. Could not get it running for love of money. I did everything I could. Finally, I just said, you know what? I'm changing the coil on this thing. And I went. There was one. It was a parts house up in Newtown that I went to that I even had to order the coil. Or magneto, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's
thing.
A mag, yeah.
And I purchased it. And when I tell you, I had to fillet the snowblower just to install this thing. Because it started with, like, take apart the chute. And the chute is nowhere near where the coil is.
It's right under the flywheel.
Think about the magneto. The coil is in the back, literally in the back. You can hit it with your knee if you're standing behind the snowblower. So I'm taking the chute off, and I'm like, okay, that's got to come off. And then literally you're taking the entire thing apart to get at that back cover so that can come off so you can access the coil. And that was what an ordeal. And then to fish the coil wire the spark plug wire, I guess you could say, to where the spark plug is located was a joy in itself, because there's rigging that's holding the motor in place and holding the gas tank in place that all has to be moved.
Right. Right.
I mean, they think they take it off. I'm like, take this off. Why? I'd still be putting the thing together in this weather. So I literally unbolted some parts of it so I can get it to move, so I can fit the spark plug boot through it and feed it all around, because it's got to make a sharp right-hand turn to get back to the motor where the spark plug lives.
Right, right.
So, yeah, what a job. What a job.
Well, but what'd the coil cost you?
Coil cost me about $70.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was like $70-$80 for it. Yeah, it was one of those type of really
now,
type
of... Oh, that was the one that you set the air gap with a matchbook cover, right?
I set the air gap with a Motormouth radio business card.
Because you do need an air gap of about 20, 25 thou. And they
our business cards work perfectly, too. Well, here's the funny thing. I fire it up, it starts, and it's running. Now, I got it on full choke, and it's running like da-da-da-da-da, like it runs in full choke mode,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's getting fed gas and everything's closed up, so all the air ports are closed up. So you go to open up the choke incrementally, right? There's a dial turning from like 12 at full choke, 12 o'clock, to like, let's say 4 o'clock was full run. And of course, I just kick it off of choke where it's like at 1 o'clock on the clock, and it's still running da 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 da. And of course, silly me, I start going out and start blowing snow with it.
Oh, really?
And it's running like crap. And I'm like, this dopey thing, I hate it. I got to get rid of it. And all of a sudden, I look down, and I'm like,
Yeah.
Just turn it all the way to 4 o'clock where it should be, and it smooths right out.
Yeah.
And I'm sending snow everywhere at this point.
Beautiful.
It was fantastic. And I'm thinking to myself, you knucklehead.
Yeah. I'll tell you who else was throwing stuff all over the place. And it's Lewis Lee and the boys. This weekend, if you haven't checked it out, that Busting Out Schoolie event where they were raising...
I couldn't miss it. It's all over Facebook.
Because everybody there, all the builders, were simulcasting it on their pages. So you can go to allendsmag.com, go to bustingoutschoolie.com, go to playingintraffic.com, and or on the social media pages, and you'll find lists for these guys. They did raise the roof. They started getting it, covered in. I don't know exactly. That's the problem. I was watching so many different guys' feeds throughout the day and night that I don't know like what was the latest one. I don't know.
You know the funny thing is, if you're gonna watch it, turn the sound down, because that's all you hear is.
Right.
It's all you hear.
They're in a shop and they're actually working with metal tools. Exactly. Yes.
All you hear is saws.
Well, actually, I forget if it was Tyler from Long Shot Performance. That's whose shop they're doing it in. Or if it was Joey from Milk Creep Fab. One of them did a video, but overlaid music. One of them, actually, it was Tyler, because he thought when we had him on a few weeks ago, I was going to use the song The Wheels on the Bus. You know, the wheels on the bus go round, and but I used Magic Bus by The Who. Well, he did a video, and he's playing The Wheels on the Bus go round and round. So some of them do have music. You know, when they were doing it and working, they were throwing stuff up quick, so it was just, let's get this out. Now, today, the social media pages have blown up with all these guys, because now they're back, I guess, and they have time to, you know, to set up and do a better post.
Got it. Got to hand it to Lewis Lee Moore. He is the supreme marketeer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I just love the way he does things and the passion. That's the word I'm looking for. The passion that he has for it is just it can't be beat. And you got to hand it to him. I mean, we're cutting a roof off a bus.
And then they raised it 18 inches, and they did do it. And again, I've said it on every show that I've been on with these guys, and I'll say it again. They had pretty much the A team of builders. They had all these guys who were very, very competent and in their own right, metal guys. And they all came, and I think they were talking about it last night in one of the videos. All these guys came together without having ever worked together before and just knew what to do, so they did their jobs.
That's remarkable.
Real pros. Real pros.
That is. See, because when you and I get together to do a project, I'm usually holding the flashlight.
We talked about that on Playing in Traffic last week. And, yes, that did come up as a topic. That's correct.
Now I got to listen.
I know.
So. Yeah, when the handful of times you and I worked on projects, I'm like, I get demoted to like flashlight holder, tool retriever. That's me.
Well, you know. Yeah.
Get the blue handled thing, Chris. Get the red handled thing. That's I get demoted.
You know, I was talking about that with Chassis John and the guys and we did agree that, you know, not everybody, it's like cooks in the kitchen. You know, like at Christmas you got your mom, your aunts, you get your cousins, and they all want to go in there and make the dinner, but hey, you know, this one does it this way, that one does it that way. No, you don't use one egg, you use two, no, you use pepper. And it's like, you know, the fights ensue. You kind of need to have the groundwork of who's going to be the lead in that kitchen, sure. Which, you know, those are the hardest ones. With this, it was easy because they all kind of knew mechanically what had to be done. They all have pretty much the same skills, and some are just honed, maybe sharper in certain ways than others. But, you know, Lewis was smart. Like I said, he got a team of metal fabricators together. He didn't get transmission guys, rear end guys, you know, engine tuners, even though these guys can do some of that, and they do. Yeah. He got guys that are known for metal fabrication. And,
totally the right thing to do.
That's
totally agree. The right thing to do. No, I know it's when it comes down to working on vehicles. I know it's me. I know, okay. I know that I do everything bass-ackwards. I know I do. I've been accused of it many times. My jobs get done. Don't get me wrong. They get done. But yeah, you could put down on my report card doesn't play well with others. You could totally do that.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And I don't know why, but I'm not the guy that's going to take over. I'm the guy that's going to back up and go, all right, dude, you all know more than I do. Go right ahead. Where's the flashlight?
Yeah.
I'm cool.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as the job does get done and everybody knows what's going on, that's really the main thing. So
it's the truth. Hey, you know what? Just real fast.
Yeah.
Since I sold the vehicle and I'm down to one convertible now, a big fat idea, I've been looking online for cars.
Oh, already.
Okay. Yes, I have. And I've come to realize one tip. Let's just throw out one tip. When you're going to sell a vehicle, don't take it apart and take pictures of it, as well as putting up pictures with the car together.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Don't give me before and after photos. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not really crazy about seeing big Cadillacs with the big 22-inch rims on them or caddies all hunkered down with airbags or all right, I'll let them go. That's not a big deal. But I'm really frustrated over those individuals that put the Buick up online and it's all together and then put it up online again and then the same ad, it's all in pieces.
Right.
Well, which is it?
Right. I'll tell you what, let's see what's in pieces here on the phones. We'll take a quickie. Let's take a quick call and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
This is Tom from Massapequa. Hi, guys. Quick comment. Did anyone see Barrett Jackson yesterday? There were a lot of Broncos and Blazers and stuff. Did anyone notice at high prices?
You know, Tom, I actually watched a little bit of it this week. I could not believe how many pickup trucks were going on the block, and I couldn't believe the prices of some of them.
Yeah.
We're talking about early 70s to like maybe early 90s pickups and Broncos and Blazers, and they were going for huge cash.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Last night was unbelievable. I watched about 4 hours of it last night, and it was crazy, the prices. Everything is, I guess, Restomod now or something.
Sure.
Yeah. There was some cool stuff, and I just thought I'd mention it. One of the other things I'm not aware of, you guys probably could elaborate, that's why I'm calling. I think they had a Suburban or a Blazer that was a three-door. It only had one door on the driver's side, and they said a lot of places use them as small school buses, I think. Are you familiar with?
Yeah, Suburbans. Where there was,
but it was only a three-door, like, so the kids couldn't get out the other side, you know?
Correct, the driver's side. The driver's side had one door, and the passenger side had two doors.
That's like when they come up with one of those airport limos that has the weirdo configurations, you know, and, like, you would only know it if you, like, worked at an airport or whatever. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they also had a Camaro or some other really cool muscle car. I forget. It might have been a Judge, but it was a GM, I think, right? there were only two made with, and it was a big motor, but it only had two of them made with the automatic on the collar.
Okay.
You could still get it that way.
Yeah, those are those oddities. Well, the money guys have the money. They're going to buy the vehicles all the time, Tom. There's nothing we can do about that. But, yeah, it was good mention, though. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. That's cool. That's...
Yeah, have a great day, guys. Enjoy the snow.
All right, Tom. Thanks.
Thanks, bye-bye. Tom. Take care. Bye-bye.
Hey, you know, I got to make a mention here. I was prompted. We put a video up on motormouthradio.com. You can see it. And it's on our social media pages, too. I stumbled on a video, Chris.
Not the one with the goat, right?
No, this is one where you and I, the first Nassau County cruise to the show.
Ooh.
We did the event. We helped with the parking. We helped move the cars. We did some announcing. We went there. We helped with judging the show. And then Jimmy Newsom, who was the video guy, said, "Hey, guys, can I get an interview with you while it's quiet?" And we said, "Yeah, sure, Jim. What do you want to know?" And he handed you a mic, and he said, "All right, just give me 5 minutes." And then he went 3, 2, 1. What? And we looked at each other and said, "Huh?" And bang, we were on cold.
We did.
And what we did was we finished our spiel. We said, "Okay, we're done. And that ended up being 5:03 on the nose. Yep. Well, I found a video and said, "Hey, this was really cool." So we put it up on the website and on social media. If people want to go and check it out and watch it again, you can see it. I'll tell you this. It wasn't rehearsed. There was no script. That was totally off the cuff. And what it proves, I've told other people, it proves that if you have a partner that you work with who you know and you know how to work with, you don't need a script. You don't need cues. Right. You don't need an itinerary. You can just work off each other. And that was
true.
That's how happened. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You're right. We can't. I don't know how. I think we do stuff like this better than we. You and I fixing the same car.
Oh, without a doubt. Time. Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yes. Doubt. Yeah. This is a combination that is lightning in a bottle as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Right.
But working on a car, I'm going for the flashlight, you're going for the tools. But and we both are well aware of it.
And Kim is coming in. She's going to be going for the board in a minute because she's going to be playing Thunder Road, Best of Springsteen, and all the bands that played with Bruce. So we're going to be getting out of here in a minute and a half when she comes in. And then we'll roll it off. We'll roll the dice. We'll start February next month. We'll do it all over again. We got a few guests in the wings. People have been dropping out. Things, schedules have been crazy for everybody. So there's been some, they're up in the clouds. We'll see who drops down, and we'll get somebody. We may do a follow up on the Busting Out Schoolie project get a quick synopsis of how that thing ended. When the bus goes home today or tomorrow, whatever, how that worked out. So. Yeah, we'll follow up on all this cool stuff, and that's what we do.
I'd like to know how everybody worked together. I mean, that stuff is important. You need to know when you got a team or you're part of a team, those soft skills of knowing your place and knowing your responsibility and knowing not to step on anybody else's responsibility, that stuff is important to know. And I would love to hear Lewis talk about that at length. It'd be great.
I know that it worked. So we'll see. Maybe I can get him to give us a call in next week and we'll talk about that.
And, sounds good.
And where's Kim? There she is. Oh, I got to look around because I don't know what side she's on. Oh, here. Like, okay. There you go.
She swoops in.
Right, exactly. No, we're waiting. We're just killing time to give you time
I'm ready. Whenever you're ready. You guys are out.
That's she's fine. Got nothing up here, nothing loaded. She's like, "Oh, I'm ready. Don't worry about it." I'm like, "Jeez." All right, so for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino signing off, Motor Mouth Radio. Chris, what do we say before we get out of here?
Grab your snowblower, but don't follow us home.
Yeah, or else I'll make you blow my snow and you clear my driveway. That's what I'll have you follow me.
That's the way you end the show.
Right. See you next week, 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See you, bye.